I'm Randy Kay, and this is Good at Heart, inspired by the quote from Anne Frank. And you know, these days when headlines can be filled with hate and horror and fear, there are also people, so many people I'm discovering, working quietly to make the world a little bit better. And they've all been inspired by something or someone to do something, and then in turn they inspire us. And I always feel inspired talking to people like Al Guido, who's one of these people. I'm so in awe. Al has created something called Al's Angels. Al, welcome to Good at Heart.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Full disclosure, I learned about you. I was having lunch with a mutual friend, also named Randy, and I was telling her about this feature. She said, oh, you have to interview Al Guido. So let's begin with your story. Tell me about Al's Angels and, you know, what was the germ? What was the spark that got it started?
So about 30 years ago, I have been a longtime New York Giant football team fan. And a friend of mine who was working with me at the time said, hey, listen, Al, I've got these tickets to this event over in New Jersey, and all the New York Giants are going to be there, and they're going to be there with their wives. And I said, Pete, what's this all about? And he said, well, they're raising money for something. I don't know. But he said, but you like the Giants. Why don't you come? We have an extra seat. So I did. So I went there, and all my idols back then, Phil Sims, Lawrence Taylor, all these players were all there. And it was a big cocktail reception and dinner. Right as the dinner was closing, a woman came to the stage and said, I want you all to quiet down. I want to tell you why we're all here. She said, I want to introduce you to several women. And she said, oh, the first woman I want you to be introduced to, her name is Beth. She walked up, middle-aged woman. And she said, hi, my name is Beth. My daughter's name is Charlotte. She's 10 years old and she's dying of cancer. We've been wiped out financially. And the money that you raise here tonight is going to help us provide clothing and some gifts for her for the holiday season. She walked off. What was a really loud room got incredibly quiet. And another woman walked up and said, hi, my name is Priscilla. My son is 8 years old. His name is Todd. And he's dying of cancer. And my husband left us. The money that you raise here tonight will help us get housing and some clothing for the other two children that I have. Well, there were two or three other women that came up, and they all said the same thing. And I looked at my buddy, and I said, Pete, what is going on here? He said, I have no idea. I said, that's not a good answer. I said, how is it in the United States of America, mothers with children that are dying of cancer have to stand in front of strangers and beg for money? For clothing, for food, for shelter? He says, I have no idea. And I said, oh, that's not a really good answer at all. So I left that night. I always remember it was over in Hackensack, New Jersey. And I'm driving home to Westchester. And I'm thinking about it at that point, my young children. I have three kids. Now today I have seven grandkids. But back then, three kids, and they were all asleep in their beds, and they were healthy. And I woke up my wife, and I said, Chris, I got to tell you this story. She said these famous words to me, what is it, Al? Do you want to change the world? I said, no, I just want to do something to help those families and maybe some other families that are going through a similar battle. They're battling cancer. They're battling rare blood diseases. They have severe financial distress. I want to help them as people. She said, well, it's the middle of the night. What can we do now? So I said, well, starting tomorrow. I had a half a dozen friends of mine. We all met in our garage, and I said, listen, we're going to go to Home Depot. We're going to buy BJ's Wholesale Club, and we're going to buy food. We're going to find ourselves 40 families that are in this situation, and we're going to provide them with their Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah meals. And we did. And we went there and stocked up station wagons and everything else and found families. And we were always anonymous. We always went to these places, and we left it there with a note saying, hey, listen, an angel is providing your holiday meal. When we got back to the garage that day, I said, listen, guys, from now on, every year, we're going to figure out how to do more each year. And we did. That was almost 30 years ago. This past year, we helped over 3,200 families in the tri-state area, provided them their holiday meal, which is a 18-gallon bin of food, all food purchased by us, and it goes out to close to 3,200 families, almost 10 to 12,000 people each year. We also provided toys back then, and we provide toys this year as well, close to 20,000 toys every year. I got to tell you, Randy, and those of you who are listening, there are no other programs. There's no other people coming to help them. These are the people that are below the radar screen. We find those people. So without us, they're not having their holiday meals. Without us, they're not having gifts to provide their children. Like I said, that was over 30 years ago.
Wow. So just for listeners who may be listening outside of our area, the tri-state area is Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey, correct?
Correct.
That's a tri-state area. And do you still live in Westchester, or are you in Connecticut?
I live in Westport, Connecticut.
Westport, Connecticut now. So I have so many questions that come to mind. So one of them is, how do you go about finding families that are below the radar and need help?
Right now, we deal with about 12 to 15 hospitals, oncology facilities, cancer wards, churches, who provide us with the lists and serve as our partners for these families. You know, and we talk about the tri-state area. There are many families that fit this bill. We raise money constantly, trying to do as much as we possibly can to help as many as we can. We've also extended our reach to provide children and families that have gone through, you know, disasters. Like this past year, we provided the people down in Asheville, North Carolina. Another one of my angels drove a 26-foot truck down to Asheville, North Carolina, in the midst of that hurricane devastation, and provided them all kinds of supplies. And we also, just in the last couple of months, sent a 52-foot trailer out to Altadena in California for all the wildfires.
See, and without this lunch with my friend, I wouldn't have even known. I have two questions here. I don't know which one to ask first, but I think I'll ask the philosophy one first. Why you?
Well, you know, what I forgot to mention to you, which has been the driving force to me, that night in New Jersey, I was on my way home. I ask people all the time, have you ever been visited? Have you ever been spooked? And they kind of laugh when I say that. But that night in the pouring rain, God spoke to me. And he said these words, and these have been my guiding force all these years. What if it were you? Mm-hmm. What if it were your family? What if it were today, my grandchildren? I thought that once my children were grown, I'm done with this. But now it's my grandchildren.
Yeah.
So they range from 16 down to 8. So I think about, what if it was me that had all of a sudden my whole life was turned upside down?
Sure.
And I had to deal with all of this stuff. And what's incredibly rewarding for me is over these years, we have close to 8,000 volunteers now. We started with 6 in a garage, and now in the database, close to 8,000.
Wow.
And people have been incredibly generous and incredibly supportive. And I think what's really important, as you said before in the beginning, that today there's a lot of craziness going on in the world, right? There's a lot of hate, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of
And we know about so much of it because the headlines are so clickable when it's about that. And that's why I really feel it's so important to give a headline to somebody like you. And I know it was the voice of God to you. For others, it's just a voice inside my head told me, or it could be anything. You know, we can interpret the voice of God in a million different ways, in a million different religions. But now you have 8,000 people who are helping you. So that kind of leads me into my next question, which was, who helps you? How do they find you? And how can people help you now?
Well, if you go up on www.owlsangels.org, you can help in two different ways. One, obviously, we're always doing fundraising. There's no paid employees. We're 100% volunteer. So you can either sign up to be part of our volunteer group. You know, most of our work is done in the fourth quarter of the year during the holiday time frame.
Right.
So believe it or not, we're setting up our food shipments and our toys and all that stuff is being set up now. And then the Thanksgiving event will happen on November 15th. What's great about it is Howard Safin, who owns the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater up in Bridgeport. He literally gives us that arena to use to back our trucks in. We get close to 1,000 people there who in a 4 to 5 hour period of time put all the meal bins out. And literally, Randy, in a day, the full day, everything is done.
Okay, November 15th to get ready for Thanksgiving and the holidays. So people can go to owlsangels.org and donate their time and or money. Do you need money as well?
We always need.
Do you need money?
Yeah, we always need funds. And also, we have one of our kickoff events, a family in Fairfield this year, and they do it every year. It's having an Oktoberfest party, and people are bringing new and unwrapped toys for Owls Angels. So they kick off our toy drive. People that are on the list will get a notification about what toys are on our wish list. I mean, think about it. We're going to distribute 20,000 toys. It's an amazing undertaking. We have a developer in Fairfield, Mike Chinella, who each year gives us a space for free to use as our workshop, where we bring all the toys, sort them, people come pick them up and such. And this year, once again, we'll be in Fairfield.
Do your kids and grandkids help out with this?
Always.
Yeah.
You can't be part of the DeGuido family without helping out in some way. And I've got two on the West Coast, and they help out as well. So it's an amazing feeling you said about what goes on in the world. But people that come to these events walk away touched incredibly. I mean, my friend Randy, she comes and she said the same thing. It's you're surrounded by people whose only initiative there that day is to do something good for someone else. It's an incredible feeling.
Exactly. We all need our faith in humanity restored. And by giving to others, that's how we do it. So I was going to ask you what you get out of it, but I think you've answered that. So do you think about a piece of advice that you ever got from other human beings or a quote that keeps you going that you can share?
Yeah, I mean, I always think about the words, do unto others as you'd have done to yourself.
Sure.
And so many people are obsessed with their own issues and their own challenges and silly things sometimes, right?
Sure.
And I always think you got to come back to a place in your heart. I mean, how do you treat people with love? We're made to love one another. I mean, truly love one another. Not love people of our same religion, our same race, our same political belief. It's love one another.
Mm-hmm.
So we never discriminate against anyone. You have a need, we can help you solve it. I've been in hospitals and oncology facilities. I've seen people at their lowest, and I've seen the impact that one individual, or a number of individuals can have in the lives of other people. It's incredibly important. And I think the other big reward for me is the number of kids that we have come and help. People say, well, is my child too young? We say, well, if your child can walk, they can help. So the fact we are imparting to this next generation the message that they can help somebody, they can spend a small amount of their time away from sports and everything else, and they can help someone else and change someone else's life. So, I mean, I think that to me is incredibly rewarding, is to see the number of kids that show up. And the parents really do, Randy, want to have that experience for their kids.
Are there other organizations like yours around the nation that have been in touch with you to pick up on your model?
Yeah, we have had people on the West Coast. We've had people down south when we went to Asheville. It takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes a lot of work. And we have, one of my close friends here was moved by us. And his daughter had leukemia. Thank God she's better now. I don't know if you're familiar with Dan Vieira and Live Free. But Dan was a friend of mine from the very beginning. He saw what we're doing. He said, I've got to do something as well. And he created the Live Free organization.
Well, you are absolutely a almost textbook example of good at heart. And I'm so delighted to have you be the subject of this episode. So, Al DeGuido, why do you think we're here on Earth?
For me, it's always been to do God's will.
And that means what?
Whatever your religion is, all has a basic foundation in loving one another and taking care of those less fortunate. You know, I've had great success in my life. I have a great family. I have great children. I have great grandchildren. Everybody's healthy. You really have to give back. You have to spend some time. And you can make every excuse, and I could have made every excuse. I don't have the time. I'm too busy. I'm doing this or that. Make the time.
Mm-hmm.
Find the time.
Absolutely. Al DeGuido, certainly paying it forward. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate your time.